And we continue our series now on K through 12 education with a debate about one of the most divisive issues, charter schools. Charter school enrollment has jumped from less than 1 million students in 2003 to more than 2.5 million in 2013. About 5% of students in the U.S. now attend a charter school. We're joined by Michelle Rhee, former chancellor of the Washington, D.C. public schools, founder of Students First and board member of 50 Can Action Fund, and Kevin Wellner, director of the National Education Policy Center and a professor at the University of Colorado. Michelle Rhee, let's start with you. Do you think charter schools are public schools?
Yes, absolutely. Charter schools are public schools that serve kids generally with the public dollars.
Kevin, do you agree with that?
Yes, they're public for the reasons that Michelle said. They're also private in some ways. They sort of straddle the two. They're private primarily in the nature of their operation and management because they are run by private organizations.
Do you think, Kevin, that they are doing more harm than good to our education system?
That is a tough question. I think that there are wonderful charter schools that are doing great things, and I think there are awful charter schools that are doing really bad things. I think that the more important question is what can we learn from them, and how can charter schools work within a healthy system that includes all schools?
So what's one improvement that you would want to make to charter schools?
I think there are improvements in the area of access, improvements in the area of accountability, improvements in the area of transparency. I think finding ways to make them work better within a system so that they help not hurt other public schools around the charter schools. All those things can be done and can be changed.
Well, Michelle Rhee, let me have you respond to the issue of access. There has been a criticism that charter schools can pick and choose their students and that they can expel problem students much more easily than traditional public schools. What do you think about that?
Well, first of all, I actually agree with everything the professor said. He's absolutely right that there are great charter schools and there are not so good charter schools. And even people like me who are charter school proponents, we have to be careful because charter schools are not the end all be all. They are not the answer to everything. To answer your particular question, access is an issue. I think of the best charter schools, for example, not all parents have access to them. Some of them have wait lists that are extraordinarily long. And even if families want to attend those schools, they have to enter into a lottery and they have to be lucky enough to be chosen. Do some charter schools also struggle because they are not following sort of the rules and regulations that we've set up to make sure that they are servicing all kids, in particular, kids who have special needs or are discipline problems? Do we have some charter schools who aren't doing that well? Absolutely.
Do you think that they draw resources away from the rest of the public schools?
Well, I think that they draw the resources that they should. I mean, they are serving kids who deserve to have the public dollars following them. And traditional school districts shouldn't be getting money and dollars for kids that they are not serving. I think everyone would agree with that. I think the challenge is that a lot of traditional public school districts have fixed costs that they have to deal with in terms of, capital expenditures and that sort of thing. And when kids start to leave, those costs don't actually go down. And so helping districts figure out how they deal with that dynamic is incredibly important. But I don't think that traditional public school districts should be getting money in the door for kids that they are not serving. And I also don't think that we should be forcing families to send their kids to a traditional public school if it's actually not working for them.
Kevin, do you think that charter schools are drawing resources away from public schools?
Well, I mean, the nature of the system, of course, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. I think we have to design the system to minimize any problems. I mean, essentially, if you're creating two parallel systems, you're creating inefficiencies. We have 40-some-odd different experiments going on around the country, and we could learn from one another. But I think you could see situations like in Pennsylvania where you have a funding system that creates a real problem where special education money is not distributed fairly, and the growth of charter schools is because of that really harming and bankrupting local school districts.
Kevin, you brought up the issue of accountability and transparency. What's the problem there in your view with charter schools?
The transparency primarily involves money, where the money is coming from and where it is going to. Again, this gets to the issue of private companies running public schools. So if you have a company that is essentially a privately run closed corporation, you have a lot of legal protections in terms of the sorts of information that you have to disclose. And a lot of these companies simply do not disclose that information. So we don't know where the public money going to these private corporations and supposedly going to help the students ends up. There are companies that are doing fine things in terms of running these schools. And there are places like, and I'm guessing Michelle will actually agree with me on this, companies like White Hat and K-12 Inc. that are real problems. There are all sorts of clever things that corporate attorneys can do to set up shell companies and move money, even when the private company is a nonprofit, move money into private hands and enrich people at levels that I think we would consider inappropriate for public schooling.
And Michelle, what would you say to that?
I would absolutely agree. I think that there are some problem spots with for-profit companies, and that there have to be rules and regulations and policies in place that ensure that there is transparency in terms of where the dollars are going, how they're being spent, and furthermore, what impact those are having on kids. So is there a problem? Yes. But I don't want to overstate the problem, because I do think that the vast majority of charter schools are actually run by nonprofit organizations, and they do have requirements about making sure that any additional dollars that are coming in to the nonprofit are disclosed. Could it be better than it is now in terms of the transparency? Yes, absolutely. I think that what has in the past really provided the leverage and the pressure to make some of these changes is the fact that families are voting with their feet and they are choosing the charter school, the effective charter schools more and more. And so I think you have to have that pressure there. If you take that off, then what is the incentive for the existing status quo to change itself? There really is none.
But I guess the question would be then, if families are making that choice, are the more economically disadvantaged families not able to make that choice? And are we drawing away resources from the rest of the public school system as a result of that?
Let us be clear that the vast majority of children who are enrolled in charter schools are from low-income families. So there are some certainly that are more geared towards middle-income kids, but that's not the vast majority of charter schools in this country.
The issue that Michelle just raised is a really, really important one. It's one that researchers have been trying to delve into. People in the charter school sector, I think, really want to serve a broad swath of kids, and particularly serve kids who are not well-served otherwise. But there is a tension built into a choice system that's essentially a rich-get-richer, poor-get-poorer problem. So Michelle is right in terms of the overall demographics, and that's largely because charter schools tend to be located in lower-income communities of color. But within any given community, the families opting into a choice system tend to be those who know how to work the system. So we get this rich get richer, poor get poorer problem even within a community of color that's fairly low income. And we also see stratification with regard to serving English language learners, serving students with special needs. There's stratification with regard to test scores. So these are things that, again, I think people like Michelle and other people who are trying to make the charter system work care about this and want to find ways to make it work. But I think it's an ongoing tension, an ongoing problem.
I would agree that it is it's an ongoing problem. But I also think that in some ways, dynamics can be actually shifted and changed when you have this kind of competition and pressure in existence. So, for example, when I took over the D.C. public schools in 2007, for 40 years, the enrollment had been declining. So people were just leaving the public schools because they did not have any faith and trust in what the district was going to be able to do for their kids. Layer onto that the fact that then sort of charter schools came into the mix, and a lot of families were choosing charter schools. I actually saw that as an advantage because I knew that because there was competition, that was actually going to be able to spur the district into action. It was going to allow me to take some pretty dramatic actions that if that competition wasn't there, I probably wouldn't have been able to do. The result of that then was that we actually made the traditional public school system much, much stronger. Our academic achievement was growing faster than any other urban jurisdiction in the country. The enrollment started to rise for the first time in 40 years. And actually, many of the families that were fleeing for the private schools, et cetera, were actually coming back into the system. So I think, you know, you have to consider those dynamics as well when you're sort of thinking about whether or not growth makes sense. I don't think that, you know, the philosophy that a lot of charter proponents have, which is like, you know, let 1,000 flowers bloom, you know, just let people start charters wherever they want and then the market will correct itself. I actually don't believe in that at all. I think you have to have, like Kevin said, very, very strong accountability measures in place, because I don't believe in choice for choice sake. I believe in choice when it results in better outcomes and opportunities for kids. And if it is not doing that, if we have charter schools that are actually failing kids, then those should not be continued to operate.
That's Michelle Rhee, former chancellor of Washington, D.C. Public Schools and founder of Students First and board member of 50 Can Action Fund. We've also been speaking with Kevin Wellner, director of the National Education Policy Center and professor at the University of Colorado Boulder School of Education. Thanks to both of you for joining us.
Well, thank you.
Absolutely.
And you can continue the conversation with your thoughts at our website, hereandnow.org.